So without much further ado, I'm going to go on. We are going to talk about keys to prosperity. Remember, this is our month where divine wealth will amplify us. So we're going to look at keys to prosperity. As always, I like to talk about definitions. What is prosperity? It is the state of being prosperous. The state of being prosperous. Now remember, prosperity is not only money. Even health, relationships, quality key relationships, that's prosperity. But I will focus a lot on wealth or money because this is the theme for this month, being amplified by wealth. And what is prosperity? The condition of being successful or thriving. When you thrive, you're doing well. You're excelling. That's what it means to be prosperous. Then what is prosperity? It is the state of being wealthy or having a rich and full life. I like that part, full life. Because money is not everything. But your life can be full when you have joy, when you have peace, when you have happiness, when you have people that love you, who care for you, when you have people that will help you, destiny helpers. That's having a full life. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. That is prosperity. A full life means you have everything that is needed in all areas, in all aspects and dimensions of your life. Nothing is missing. That's a full life, and that's what God wants for us. He says, beloved, I want you to prosper above all things and be in good health. Because if you have money and no way to enjoy it, especially when there's no health, that's not a full life. So what God wants is for us in every area, maritally, with your children, with your career, your job, your business, your relationships, any way that anything that has to do with your life and in any way it's connected to your life, God wants you to be prosperous. Amen. We're going to look at 7 keys to prosperity. Please, can we have the anchor scripture, Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, projected. Deuteronomy 8, 18. Please, let's have that projected. This will be the anchor scripture. From these scriptures, we're going to look at 7 keys to prosperity. The Amplified Version says, but you shall remember with profound respect the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you the power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore, that solemnly promised to your fathers, as it is this day. Now look at those key words. We're going to look at you, remember, God, giving, power, wealth, and covenant. These will be the 7 keys for prosperity. We're going to start with the first one, you. If you're going to be prosperous, it begins with you. You have to make that decision. You have to get to a place where you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Then you will make that decision, the conscious decision to pursue prosperity. But it starts with you. Nobody can do it but you. Nobody. No matter how someone preaches or lays hands, anoints, lays mantle, if you don't make that conscious decision and take the needed steps to pursue prosperity, it will not happen. It will not happen. It is a choice that is made by an individual. Do you guys need me to get out of the way? Is everyone good? Okay. You have to get to that place. Many times people keep doing the same thing over and over and over again that is not getting results, and they think there should be a change. There's a saying that goes, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you will get a different result. It won't. So if there is, we talked about poverty some days ago. If you see there's a spirit of poverty that is hovering around you or your family, if you know there's a generational curse for poverty, you have to decide, I want to put an end to it. I want to be prosperous. I want to be prosperous. It's like if you're driving, let's say you're driving to a location. You have your GPS on. It happened to us today, actually, as we're coming here. We had the GPS on and we were driving. We trusted the GPS to get us to church. But for some reason, it kept, because we come on 290. Then from 290, we stay on there till we exit on Cicero. For some reason, it kept trying to get us off to Harlem, then Austin. It kept trying to get us to avoid coming to church. We kept wondering, what is it? So when you see that you are going in a certain direction and it's not going the right way, what's the first thing you would do? What should be the first thing you should do? What? If you're using the GPS and it's taking you in the wrong direction, what's the first thing you're going to do? You check to make sure it has the right address, correct? That's the first thing you do. Do I have the right address? You keep going in a circle, keeps taking you to the wrong destination. You have to stop at one point and say, do I have the right address? We didn't do that. We kept saying, maybe it's just because we're using Waze. So we're saying, oh, maybe it's just trying to help us avoid a crash ahead. So I kept telling Beulah, let's keep going. When we got to church, we finally said, let's check what was going on. Wrong address. Look at that. I should have thought, this is what I'm going to talk about. Why didn't I think about checking that GPS? But I didn't. But we kept pushing. We kept saying, no, it looks like the road is clear. Maybe an accident happened before. So the AI is still thinking that it should reroute us. Wrong address. The first thing you should do if you know you're not heading towards prosperity, stop and check. Am I going to the right address? Is my destination right? That's the first thing. It starts with you. You have to make that conscious decision. We'll look at 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10. The Amplified Version, please. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 10. We will see somebody who made that decision because they saw their life was not going right. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel saying, oh, that you would indeed bless me and enlarge my border. That's my property. That's my prosperity, my increase, my expansion. And that your hand will be on me, be with me, and you would keep me from evil so that it does not hurt me. And God granted his request. This was someone who saw my destination is wrong. I have to change it. I'm going in the wrong path. Change it. So if you are going to be prosperous, the first key, it begins with you. Nobody else will do it for you. Nobody else. We move on. The next word we saw in that anchor scripture was remember. When someone says remember, it means to bring to mind. And for that to happen, there has to be an awareness. You have to think about it. And usually when you think about something, you automatically reflect over it. When you reflect over something, it means you are seriously thinking about it or you're considering it. When you remember, you have to think. Not just superficial thinking, deep, serious, conscious, deliberate thinking. You have to consider and weigh everything out. That's what God's word says. If you're going to be prosperous, there has to be remembrance. And if you are doing it the right way and you are reflecting, you will start going back and reminiscing over your life. If you do it correctly and truthfully, you will find out there are things to be grateful for. No matter how bad things might be now, if you are being honest and you truly reflect over God and what he has done for you, you will find out there is something to be grateful for. And many times when you do deep reflection, you end up coming out of it very grateful. Gratitude becomes born from that. That's why it's important that you have to remember. Remember, it always births gratitude. Let's look at Psalms 103, verse 2 to 5 in the Amplified Version. Psalms 103, 2 to 5 in the Amplified Version. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul. And do not forget. Do you see that? When you forget, that means you're not remembering. Do not forget any of his benefits. He's the one who forgives all your sins. We all have sins. Who heals all our diseases. And who redeems our life from the pit. He crowns us lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy. And he satisfies our years with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Look at that. He satisfies our years with good things. That means blessings, prosperity. That's what remembrance can do. Because once you are grateful, you must remember what God has done. And automatically, gratitude opens up the doors, the windows of blessing. Failure to remember good things will make you overlook what God has done for you. And it can bring ingratitude. It brings heaviness of the spirit and the heart when you don't remember. As we see in Proverbs 17:22 in the Passion Translation. Proverbs 17:22 in the Passion Translation. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both the body and the soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Look at that. The opposite of reflecting and having gratitude will bring sorrow, will bring depression, will bring sickness. That's what ingratitude will do. So that's why we have to remember. Because if God will give us prosperity, we have to get in the habit of reflecting, remembering what he has done for us. Amen. We move to the third one. The third word there was God. God, the Almighty King. We have to ascribe all greatness to him. That means we give it all to him. We tag him as the God. No one like him. No one besides him. We're reverencing him. We're exalting him. That is needed if we are going to be prosperous. If you look at anyone who has made something of themselves, examples in the Bible and even in the world, they have always attributed everything they do to God. Not by their might or by thy power. Remember the rich fool who said, my hands have got me all these things. Now I shall sit. I shall put everything in my storehouses. And I shall sit and I shall look at what my hands gave me. Didn't attribute anything to God. And God said, you fool, your soul will be demanded of you. Because you have to ascribe greatness to him. He will share his glory with no one. Deuteronomy 32 verse 3 in the Amplified. Deuteronomy 32 verse 3 in the Amplified. For I proclaim the name and presence of the Lord, and I ascribe greatness and honor to our God. I ascribe greatness and honor to our God. Because he is the one that deserves it. We also see in Proverbs 8:17 to 20 in the Passion Translation. Proverbs 8:17 to 20 in the Passion Translation. Proverbs 8:17 to 20 in the Passion Translation. I will show my love to those who passionately love me. This is God. For they will search and search continually until they find me. Unending wealth and glory come to those who discover where I dwell. Look at that. Unending wealth and glory come to those who discover where I dwell. God God ascribing greatness to him, seeking him. It says unending wealth and glory will come. If you discover where I dwell, have you discovered where he dwells? Here at the mega altar. And you're here tonight. So that means unending wealth and glory is coming to you automatically. Automatically. The riches of righteousness and a long satisfying life will be given to them. You are getting those because you've discovered where he dwells. What I impart has greater worth than gold and treasure, and the increase I bring benefits more than a windfall of income. That means don't go after income. What I give you by my presence, me dwelling in you, you discovering where I am, it will bring you even more than income. I lead you into the ways of righteousness to discover the paths of true justice. Look at all what can come. When we ascribe greatness to God, the last scripture we're going to look at, talking about God, Psalms 34, verse 8 to 10. We can remain in the Passion Translation. Psalms 34, 8 to 10, in the Passion Translation. Drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. This is an invitation. Experience for yourself. Look at that again. You. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. There is nothing like hiding yourself in him. My life is hid in Christ. Your life is hid in Christ. Worship in awe and wonder. All you who've been made holy, for all who fear him will feast with plenty. Look at that. Prosperity because of God. Because you are in him, because you know him, because you dwell in him, because you've discovered where he is. Even the strong and wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Look at that. Never lack any good thing. Never lack riches. Never lack wealth. Never lack prosperity. Never lack relationships. Good, profitable relationships. Never lack joy, peace, happiness. Never lack guidance, direction. Because sometimes you know you can lack that. Not knowing what to do at the right time or the right place, it can derail someone's life forever. But he said, if you seek him, if you passionately pursue him, you will never lack any good thing. Any good thing means anything that would advance you. Any good thing means anything that would take you closer to fulfilling your destiny. That's any good thing. But you can see, it still brings prosperity when you remember your God, you dwell in him, and you pursue him passionately. That's what you're doing because you're here at the mega altar. Hallelujah. Next, the next word is give. Give. Prosperity is a transaction given by a divine being that is received by humanity. It's a gift. He gives it. He gives it. Those he loves, those that love him, those that pursue him, those that passionately seek him, he gives the gift of prosperity. Right there. For it is he who is giving you. He's giving freely. On Monday, we look at the different ways in which you can get wealth. And one of them is when he gives. And that was the first one, when he just gives. Then we saw the other ones. But ultimately, he's the one that releases, and we take it. Let's look at 2 Chronicles, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8, in the New Living Translation. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 8, in the New Living Translation. We'll go all the way to 12. This is a story of a man in the Bible who was known to be wealthy. But we will see what transpired for him to get to that place. God gave it to him, but there was something that happened. Just signal when we have it, please. If you want to receive prosperity from God, which is a gift he gives to anyone who loves him, there are certain things that must be done. We've seen that we have to, first of all, reverence him and want him bad enough. So we'll see a story of someone in the Bible who was historic for being wealthy. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 8 in the New Living Translation. Amen. Solomon replied to God, You showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. David was one of the people that actually saw his own son be on the throne. Usually they have to die before an heir goes on the throne. But because of the sure mercies of David, that he had entered with God, he was spared to see his own child get on the throne, to see the excellent things he was able to do. You showed great and faithful love to David, my father, and now you have made me king in his place. Not in any arrogant way, but in humble adoration, in awe of God and what he did for his family. Oh Lord God, please continue to keep your promises to David, my father, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. That's again going back to ascribing greatness and honor to God. He knew it. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours? He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't pompous. He knew, if I'm going to be successful in this work, which, mind you, I didn't choose it, it was given to me. I know the same God that helped my father, made him successful, will do the same to me if I also choose the God of my father and also worship and reverence him the way he did. I know I will be successful. And that's what he did. The same way we also, as we see God's servant, our father, watch him, reverence him, follow his God, so that he can also make us successful in all that we do. So it's just the natural progression of things when there's a father and children. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern these great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because something had incited him, something had made him happy. And he said, because your greatest desire is to help your people, you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies or a long life. Because, you know, usually we're all human. That's what we tend to ask for. Father, bless me, bless me, bless me. Money, 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 money. Increase me. Then if you have enemies, especially the devil, kill, kill, kill the devil. You know, that's what people would normally ask. And remember, he was a king, so he had many enemies because they always had to go into battle. So he would have been legitimate in asking for the death of his enemies. It would have been legitimate, because if you don't kill them, they will kill you. Yeah. So what he did was right. If he had asked for them to be killed, he would have been right. Because that's what happened in those days. It was all about conquer and take over. You come into a place just like what's happening in Ukraine. It's all about taking over. That's what shows you're powerful. It shows your strength. He would have been justified in asking for the death of his enemies. But God was so impressed by what he asked for. Because your greatest desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, fame, or even the death of your enemies, or a long life, but rather you asked for wisdom and knowledge to properly govern my people, I will certainly give you the wisdom and knowledge you requested. But catch this. But I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame such as no other king has had before you or will ever have in the future. And did God do it? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So that's why we have to make sure, if we want prosperity, it is God that will give it. Listen to that again. But I will also give you, but I will also give you, on top of the wisdom and understanding, I will also give you. That's what we want from God. Give. If we are going to be prosperous, we have to make sure we get it from God. He releases it as a divine being, and we receive it as humanity. And he, not only that, he said fame. Because you know, there are people that are rich on this earth, millionaires, but we don't know about them. We know about Bill Gates. We know about Elon Musk. We know about who else? Jeff Bezos. They have wealth and riches, and they also have fame. This is what happens when God gives. I will give you all of this, even more than you even asked for. And I would ensure you make a mark on this earth where you will be known as the richest man now and in the future until today. Historians have said the wealth of Solomon, he was one of the richest men that ever lived. Even if you convert his wealth, if you add inflation and the current money market, he will still be one of the richest men that ever lived. Hallelujah. Next is, I believe, number 5, power. That was the 5th word, power. Amen? Ephesians 3, 8 to 20 in the Passion Translation, please. Ephesians 3, 8 to 20 in the Passion Translation. These are all the keys to wealth and prosperity. We'll look at that in the Passion Translation, Ephesians 3, 18 to 20. Ephesians 3, sorry, 18 to 20. If I said the wrong thing, I'm sorry. Then you will be empowered. Say empowered. You will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. And what is that? The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. In all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power. Look at that. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. Power, the capacity and ability to do work. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Just think about anything you've imagined that even you know. If you tell anyone, they'll think you're crazy. But the word says he will exceed even that wildest imagination. Nothing you can dream up is even enough. The power that he has, that he can empower you so you can do it and bring it to pass. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. That's how you get prosperous. The power, so you can use your imagination, your Kael power, to bring things to pass, to birth things. I remember the first time the iPhone came out around 2008. I couldn't understand how it worked. I was baffled. Then there was a time when it advanced. I can't remember what number it was. But if you have two Apple devices, iOS devices, like an iPad and a phone, and you're logged into both of them using the same iCloud account. Do you know you can copy from one and paste in the other? That blew my mind the first time I saw that. I was like, how? But that's what God is saying. I can do infinitely above what you can even imagine. He gave that idea to somebody. They developed that technology. And remember, it's been said we only use 20% of our brain capacity? So dream, imagine, begin to empower, use God's power to birth things that He has for you if you're going to be prosperous. You have to do that. If you don't, you'll be doing yourself a disservice. Tap into the grace and the power that God has given. He has said, I will release it. You will be empowered to discover. You will be empowered to discover prosperity. You will be empowered to discover wealth, riches, technology. You will develop things that you cannot even imagine. That's the power that God is releasing on everyone who believes in Him. We need to run with it. Let's stop being quiet. Let's stop being humble. But God has given us this power. And He has said, these are one of the keys. If you are going to be prosperous, you have to make sure you utilize the power that is in me. The power I have given you freely. You have to utilize it. You will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Think of anything you've asked for. He said you will achieve infinitely. That means infinite, no end. You will achieve infinitely more than that. You will your most unbelievable dream, and you will exceed your wildest imagination. That's the part I like. You know, the best place, or the best place to be in, is just daydream and imagine. You can just go into a world. Think of anything you want to think about. You might think you're just daydreaming, but look at it. God says, I have the power that even the wildest imagination and dream you're cooking up in your head, I can exceed all of that. I can exceed, go beyond all of that. So that means we are the ones that are the limiting factors. That means if we don't dream big, like the woman, the widow, who they said, bring containers for oil. She limited the supply she was supposed to get because she didn't bring enough. That's the same way. If you don't dream big enough, you are limiting what you are going to receive from God. So He's telling you, if you are going to be prosperous, you must be empowered with what He has put in you and believe that He can exceed everything you even request, dream, imagine, think about. He will exceed it all. Amen? The next word is wealth. Wealth. And we see that in Zechariah 8, 11 to 12 in the Amplified Version. Zechariah 8, 11 to 12 in the Amplified Version. But now, in this time, since you began to build, say, I'm building. I will not treat the remnant of these people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there the seed will produce peace and prosperity. The vine will yield its fruit, and the ground will produce its increase, and the heavens will give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit and possess all these things. That's how you get wealthy, by how much you possess, how much you have. God is saying, I will give it. He is saying, I will not treat them like I treated the people in the past. The seed of David, which you are, You will produce peace and prosperity. The vine, that's anything you build, anything you plant. They said it will yield its fruit. All your efforts will yield fruits. All your efforts will yield fruits. Then the ground will produce its increase. That means wherever you plant, the soil, your businesses, your jobs, your careers, any kind of thing you get involved in is your ground, because that's where you sow your seed. It says it will yield increase. It will bring forth what it's supposed to do. This is all how you get prosperous. Wealth, that's an indication. When there's increase, when there's expansion, when there's amplification, it's an indication of wealth. Then remember, wealth, increase, expansion, amplification brings dominion, because there is power in numbers. There is power in numbers. One thing people that follow the Islam religion, what they believe in strongly, especially in evangelism, is it begins at their homes. So they tend to have many children. Many, many children. Because they know if we are going to dominate, we have to make sure our seed is plenty upon the earth. Your seed is what represents you. Your money, your increase, your finances, your wealth. That's what represents you. Along with your children, obviously. But affluence brings influence. You are able to command more when you have money. Your voice is heard. Respect and honor also follows when there's wealth. And these are all the things that are needed if you are going to dominate and take over. If you are going to dominate and take over, wealth is a needed factor. Then the final word we're going to look at is covenant. It's the last, but it's not the least. Because when it comes to prosperity, wealth, it's a covenant that has been given through Abraham. It's an agreement between two parties. And they are obligated to hold on to their own end of the bargain. They must uphold it. So that means God, his covenant of prosperity, increase, wealth that he gave to Abraham, or promised to Abraham and gave to him. As his descendants, we automatically have entered into that covenant also. So if you don't believe in the covenant of Abraham, if you say, oh, it's old days, what about the covenant of your father, Apostle Dr. David Philemon, and his spiritual lineage? Whatever happens for them, you must also believe it will happen to you, and you enter into that covenant. Enter into the covenant, and that's how prosperity comes. Let us look at Genesis 17, verse 1 to 8 in the Amplified Version. Genesis 17, 1 to 8 in the Amplified Version. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence, and be blameless and complete in obedience to me. Now catch this. I will establish my covenant. That's my everlasting promise between me and you. And I will multiply you exceedingly through your descendants. Look at that. I will multiply you exceedingly, beyond measure, in excess. I will multiply you. I will multiply you from the seed that comes out of your body. I will multiply you in the flocks that you have. I will multiply you in your servants. Your descendants shall be like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the sky. Innumerable. That's what God is saying he will do for you and me. For prosperity. Then Abraham fell on his face in worship, and God spoke to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and as a result, you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abraham, that's the exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, the father of a multitude. It's very important for you to change who you are mentally and what you speak about yourself if you are going to become prosperous. No more saying, I am broke. No. No more saying, I'm a little financially challenged. No. You speak what you want to happen because the covenant is there. God says, I have entered into it. And by default, because we are also descendants of him, we are also part of that covenant. And if he has said, I'll make you the father of multitudes, for I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Look at that. You are exceedingly fruitful because you are going to be prosperous. And I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout your generations for an everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to do your descendants and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, moving from place to place, all the land of Cana as an everlasting possession of property, and I will be their God. Signed, sealed, and delivered. That's your portion. That's your portion. It's not even, you can't even contest with it. He has said, I will make you exceedingly great. I will increase you. I will bless you, you and your descendants. So anything short of being blessed through this covenant is not the fault of God. Abraham obeyed. He walked with God. He ran with the word God gave. He believed him with everything he had, to the point of even being willing to sacrifice his only child on the altar. That's how much he believed in the abilities and the power of God. Can you imagine how rich God must have made him? After this covenant was enacted, think of how much money he was given. That's why he knew, the same God that blessed me, made me prosperous, gave me wealth and increase, if he says give this child, I will give this child, knowing the child will either raise up again, or he will multiply the children and give me like 10 or 100. He knew the same God that could do it for him before will do it again. So that's why we have to be conscious of the covenant. It's a binding agreement that cannot be broken. It's not entered into lightly. Because anyone who enters a covenant, most times is sealed by blood, which happened with Abraham when they were circumcised. It is sealed by blood. And those are one of the greatest ones you should never try to get in between. That's why the devil has no part in trying to take you out of your covenant of prosperity. He's in big trouble for trying to do that. So you have to stand and fight against him with it and say, I am in covenant with God, sealed by blood. I speak to you, devil, anything you are holding against me, anything you are holding of my finances, anything you are doing to block my wealth, I come against you with the blood of Jesus. You have to speak against it because you are in covenant, a wealth covenant with God. You cannot be broke. You cannot be busted and disgusted. You can never lack money because it's a covenant that has been sealed with blood. You stand on that covenant. It's not entered into lightly. And when God is involved, the devil is in trouble. We're going to pray now. So the key points, prosperity begins with you. You have to make a conscious decision based on a desire to prosper. Remember to reflect over all that God has done for you, because only then will you be grateful when you see all that he has done. And remember, gratitude births wealth and increase. God is the one who gives wealth. Reverence and make him your focus, and wealth will come after you. When it comes to giving, prosperity is given as a gift from God, so seek him. Power power gives the ability to get wealth. So make sure you stir up everything in you and be empowered to go for all that God has promised. Wealth yields increase and it brings dominion. And finally, covenant is a relationship that is entered into between two parties and is also sealed by blood, and it obligates each party to hold and uphold their what they have gotten into. So we're going to get up and pray. Who is ready to seal everything that we have learned?